Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 245 of Geek Town Radio. We're back this week with...
Oh my word, something's fallen down. Hello everybody. Hello Dave.
Hi, yes, I added the car crash onto the end of it because given that the film industry has basically vanished.
Yes, exactly. And remarkably, it may have vanished, but I've started reinvesting more in films now.
Yes, well, I guess there is that, you know. Now maybe you have some time to actually sit and watch them, but yes. Yeah, it's a crazy time. We're on what? I think this is the fourth of the podcasts we've done since everybody's been in isolation. So how are things with you? It's been a while since you've been on.
And, it has been a while. Well, I'm a home worker anyway, so yes. Like yourself, this didn't affect me much. It just affected a lot of people in the organisation I work for, especially who work under me, like that, who I sort of direct and give them work to do. Yeah. So I work in the digital mental health field. So our work has boomed, which is absolutely great for us as an organisation and great for the many people out there who are trapped at home and need our services. But it hasn't affected me in the same way as I'm seeing on social media, for which I'm really absolutely grateful for. You know, I've still got an employment and I'm still very busy. But, you know, when people are telling me all about these great box sets that they're watching and all they're binging, I'm like, how are you getting time? Because I get to some evenings and I've had a full on day, lots of video meetings, and I'm suddenly like, oh, then that's probably why I've been on for a few weeks. I've been absolutely exhausted with workload.
Yeah.
And then it got to the Easter break and I was like, oh, I might have time to speak to Dave again. But yeah, I've been okay. I mean, I have, with my evenings being restricted, I have managed to really get to watching TV again and sort of really picking up on some movies. I think it's always really good to first have this conversation. I heard you talking about it on your previous episodes about the strangeness of TV in Corona times. And I never thought I was one of those people who relied on that audience applause.
Yes.
Audience laughter. So I think I started, like, I watched the last episode of The Last Leg just before we went on to full lockdown.
Yeah.
And it was a bit weird. And then I saw the Anton Deck stuff, which they managed to pad out with lots of previous clips and footage.
Right.
So you had that canned laughter still going on through the episode. But then, have I got news for you? It just felt awkward. The atmosphere was completely sapped up, and I liked it. I knew what they were trying to do, and I really appreciate what they're trying to do. But it just, for me, just felt that little bit stalled. And we've got to get used to it.
I know what you mean. I watched those episodes as well. I think it sort of worked better last week actually than it did this week, strangely. But I mean, I think they're doing a decent job of it. And I mean, Paul Merton, it just shows what a comedy genius Paul Merton is every time we see him on that, because the way he thinks on his feet is incredible.
Yeah.
But that was one of the shows, because a lot of the shows, like things like The MASH Report and, you know, The Daily Show and that sort of thing, you can see how that could work without an audience. And those are working, I think, those sort of straight to camera things. Have I Got News For You being a panel show is a little bit different. And they're managing to make it work. It's strange. It's a little weird, but I think it's managing to just about work, you know? So, you know, I like.
Did you catch Graham Norton on Friday?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And again, that's a little odd because obviously he's having to do all the people individually. Whereas one of the fun things about that show is the fact that he has all the guests out at once and they bounce off each other and you have them messing around the audience. I did wonder how they were going to do the red chair, and I thought that was quite good because he just cuts them off.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know that you're going to talk about I caught Russell Howard. I thought he had done quite a good job with his.
Yes.
So I thought that was I think condensing time really does show you how much a live studio program needs an audience. Mm. So Graham Norton's down to 30 minutes and Russell has condensed his down to 20 minutes. And I think that's quite a manageable amount. And so of all the ones I've seen so far, I think Russell Howard's home time has been my favorite.
Right.
And the one I'd probably continue watching because I think actually it's really condensed 20 minutes. There's not a lot of time for awkwardness. He got a singer on, he got his normal joke. Really sort of landed quite well. And so, like that's TV in Corona times.
It's been really interesting just watching how various people handle it. I mean, Real Time with Bill Maher, I thought was an interesting one as well. That handled it reasonably well. Last Week Tonight as well, he's also doing it. I've not seen the SNL because SNL came back this week, Saturday Night Live on Sky Comedy. Their first episode back will go out this week, I think, on Sky Comedy, because that came back on Saturday night in the US and has sort of had mixed reviews because they're doing that from home and that's a full-blown studio show. So I'm really interested to see how they handle it. But so there's some interesting things coming back.
So other than that, I know no one has spoken about it the last few weeks. I watched Tiger King on Netflix.
Yes, I haven't got to it yet. So this has become something of a phenomenon, Tiger King. What is it for those that haven't seen it, and what did you think?
So for the first part, it's absolutely bonkers. And when you see the trailer, it's about big cats living in America and this particular owner of a big cat park called Joe Exotic. And it sort of charts very much his story mixed in with some other characters such as Carol Baskin. And you will then get a sense of all these memes out there.
Yeah.
It's so hard to describe, Dave, that you have to watch it. So I've got my niece self-isolating with me. She's 20, she's at university, and she was like, we need to find some stuff to watch. And we started with Don't F with Cats, and we were just like freaked out by that straight away. So and then Tiger King came up as one of those, you've just watched this, you should watch this.
Yeah.
And I was like, are we just going to watch cat-based things during the entire time lockdown? But we watched it every night with dinner over 7 nights. And after the seventh night, I was like, I want more. I feel like I want more. It's that bonkers that you can't see where each episode is going.
Yeah.
And it just, it's drugs, meth, polygamous marriages, murder, explosions, deceptions, and then all interspersed with this absolutely fantastic country singing. And you just like, this is it. And I've just seen yesterday they dropped an eighth special episode where
apparently.
Joe McHale, he will interview some of them. So I said to my niece this morning, I said, we've got episode 8 to watch during our dinner tonight. We can watch that. So, I watched that.
Yes.
Yesterday I finished Kidding season 2, the Jim Carrey program.
That's another one I've not seen yet.
It's dark comedy.
Yeah.
But I like some of the storylines where it went. And look out for some absolutely bizarre cameos from Sharon Osbourne and Ariana Grande in this season. But, you know, it is what it is. The last 3 episodes I really liked. It actually sort of solved a lot of the story. I felt some of the middle episodes were really empty. I heard you talking about, and I finished Feel Good with Mae Martin.
Right, yes.
Thought that was good. Again, I'm getting a lot of these comedies with that dark edge, which I really like because it's not just all slapstick and it's got that like darker side of the story, but she had some great cast in there, like from Sophie Thompson to Lisa Kudrow. There's some really strong people doing these sitcoms at the moment, which I really appreciate. Mm. And along with you, I've been watching Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist from week to week.
I love that show.
Real feel good. It's feel good, isn't it? It's just absolutely great. And did you see the surprise appearance from Naoko Mori from Torchwood fame? She was Bonnie.
Yes, the
one who lives downstairs. And I was like, I know that face. I know that face because I've met her backstage at theatre before when she was doing Avenue Q.
Right.
I got a photo with her and everything. A huge fan of Naoko Mori, and saw her in it as well.
Yeah.
Other things I've been finishing or watching. So finished the Celeb Bake Off Stand Up to Cancer special. That was there for Sandy Toksvig's last showing. I know you don't watch Bake Off, Dave.
No.
But it was quite sort of, you know, saying goodbye to that sort of era of Bake Off before we, well, if we get a new one, who knows?
we will at some point. They've got Matt Lucas coming on as new presenter, but it's been delayed. Filming of it has been delayed, but it will come back at some point.
Then my niece and I have been watching RuPaul season 12. This also gives my niece time to actually go back. She's watching some classic seasons at the moment as well in her spare time. But yeah, we're watching season 12. And I don't know if you had the up on this. They probably haven't filmed the finale for this yet, Dave. Are you aware of that being on any of your news beats?
Will there be a finale? To be honest, I don't obviously follow RuPaul's Drag Race particularly. Yeah. And it's not my sort of show. I don't know whether they have done the finale. I suspect they probably haven't. I can't see any reference to...
The season normally goes out between now and June, and then June is a live show that they would have filmed in June because there's been some controversy with a contestant that they've had to disqualify. And so they're saying they won't appear in the live finale, which has not yet been filmed, but I don't know if that was filmed pre or post the lockdown. So.
I rather suspect if it's usually done live around that time, they probably won't have filmed it yet. So whether they can do it all remotely, I don't know, but yeah.
Who knows? And then Disney Plus obviously came on. One of the second things I looked at the moment I got my login was to make sure the X-Men animated series from the 90s is on there. So very slowly, normally when I'm making my coffee in the morning, I will put an episode on of that, starting with the Night of the Sentinels back in the very first episode where we first meet Jubilee. And that's just taking me back to my childhood. And I think in these times of lockdown, you need that bit of nostalgia to sort of take you back. It was such a good quality cartoon, really dealt with some serious issues, really loyal to the comic books. And I really, I'm enjoying that. And everything that Disney Plus comes with it, it's obviously pushed me back into my movie watching a little bit more. So with Netflix and Disney Plus over the last like 5 or 6 nights, been really trying to get a film in a night. Did Black Panther last night. You Were Never Really Here, Zootropolis, The House, the live action Aladdin, which we won't talk about. but yeah, I've started to sort of get myself really back into watching films and just enjoying that, you know, 90 minutes in the evening because I'm not going anywhere else. So there's a lot there I went through, Dave. So I that's just because I haven't been on for a while. But what have you been doing the last week? What have you been watching?
Well, I mean, a few things. I managed to finally finish The Outsider, which had fallen a bit behind when I was away in America and hadn't quite got back to like watching it weekly. So last few episodes of that I caught up with. Really, really solid series. It's Jason Bateman, I think, is one of the people behind that. And he stars in the first few episodes as well. The sort of premise is they're based on a Stephen King novel. There is a man who seemingly commits a murder of a child, but it seems that he's been wrongfully accused because he would have had to have been in two places at once. And it looks like there is some form of doppelganger going on that is actually the person committing the murders. And that's sort of where the thing gets a bit weird. It's really solid. I mean, you'd expect it to be horror from Stephen King, but it's not. It's more kind of thriller with some slight horror elements to it. So it's much more of a kind of thriller to it. It follows this bunch of police who are following this up, as well as an investigator. It is a mini series, although there are a couple of characters in there you could potentially take and create a second season out of this and expand it beyond the original story. There are some very compelling characters in there, which I think that would work for. But really enjoyed it. It's really solid. A little bit slower in places than maybe sometimes you possibly want, but the last episode is just bonkers and has this incredible opening sequence. And I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. That's been on Sky Atlantic over here, so it's probably on the catch-up services if you go and look for that.
So I remember watching episode one, and this was during the time I was getting rid of Sky and starting Now.
Yes.
And it was just one that dropped off like my list of things to watch, and then all the Chicago's came back, so sadly it was one I missed out on. But I did watch episode one and thought it was going to be, you know, a really good series. And I heard some other things online saying that you had to wait. It really kicked in properly about episode three.
Yes.
When the arrival of Cynthia Erivo's character.
Yes. She definitely, I think you could actually do a continuation of it following her character, because she's incredibly compelling to watch. I would like to actually see a bit more of that, if, you know, maybe an original story, but following her and maybe a couple of the other characters. But it's really solid and definitely worth watching. On the flip side of a sort of serious drama like that, Red Dwarf returned this week with The Promised Land, which is this feature length episode I thought was absolutely superb. I mean, I adore Red Dwarf. I've been a fan ever since the very first episode ever went out, because I'm that old. Just back to the brilliance of some of those earlier seasons of Red Dwarf. I saw some people online complaining about the, in quotes, canned laughter on it. And it's like, firstly, Red Dwarf has always had laughter on it, and it's not canned laughter. It's filmed in front of a live studio audience. So that's a live audience laughing at it. Now, I mean, there is an argument to say that maybe you don't want laughter on it, but then they've tried that as well and it didn't really work as well. So I actually am not bothered by that at all. I think it actually adds to it. Red Dwarf has always been filmed in front of a live audience and the guys love doing it like that. In terms of the story, as you probably been aware, because we've talked about this before, it essentially follows them finding one of the cat arcs that are, you know, the cats were the species that were born out of millions of years after Lister saved his pet cat, and then it evolved into this sort of human cat species, and then there was these cat arcs that went off, and it's following one of the cat arcs. That's the sort of basic premise of it. It's full of gags. It's got some wonderfully silly jokes in it. It's got some great banter between the guys, which is something that they had in much of the earlier series and sort of vanished in some of the later ones, but they started to bring it back with the last full series as well, and there's a lot of that back in there. If you're a fan of Red Dwarf, it's definitely found its footing again after a few shaky seasons, same that it did last season. It started to find its feet again last season, and really solid. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It worked as a feature length format as well. I'd be perfectly happy if they just carried on doing it this way. I mean, I'd love another full season, but if they just want to come back every couple of years and do a feature length episode, I would be very, very happy with that. The effects are as good as they need to be, I think, for a show like this. They're not exactly up to the level of something like Battlestar Galactica, but you wouldn't expect it to be like that for something like Red Dwarf. It's kind of silly. Mm. So it works really well, and it's wonderfully, it's got some very silly visual gags in there as well as some wonderfully funny humor. So definitely want to go and watch if you're a fan of Red Dwarf and not seen it yet. Sticking with some of the comedy stuff, there is a thing that popped up on Netflix called the Mark Twain Award, which is an award. It's like the highest award in comedy you can get in the US. And they gave it to Dave Chappelle this year, who, as you know from things like The Chappelle Show, very, very, very funny comedian, incredibly insightful, totally deserving of it. He's a very unique voice. The entire thing is about an hour and a half long, and it's the award ceremony intermixed with bits of his stand-up and other bits and pieces. So if you like Dave Chappelle, it is well worth going to watch, because there's people on stage that are telling very funny stories about like how they met him or incidents that happened when they were with him, as well as Dave doing various bits of stand-up himself. Well worth watching, even though it is technically an award show, but it is well worth watching, and that's on Netflix right now. Russell Howard's Home Time, as you mentioned earlier, that was another thing that started this week. Russell basically, because he's supposed to be on tour and had nothing better to do, he decided that he was going trying to do a TV show twice a week. It's about 20 minutes long. It's him FaceTiming friends. So you've got Greg Davis on the first one, and I can't remember the musician that was on, but yeah, there was a musician.
James Bay.
James Bay, that was it.
James Bay, that's it.
So James Bay did a musical segment on it as well. Exactly what you'd expect from Russell Howard. Really, really good. I'm looking forward to watching a bit more of that. The other thing that I've started this week, just because it launched over here quite out of the blue, because it wasn't really announced that it was going to be launching in the UK, and that's Quibi. Are you aware of Quibi?
I've heard of it. You're surprising me now. I genuinely didn't know it was coming to England yet. I thought they were going to do America.
That's what
and we were
going to
get
thought,
it later.
Yeah, that's what everybody thought. But they decided to sort of just launch it over here at the same time. For those of you who don't know what Quibi is, this is a subscription-based platform streaming service. It's designed specifically for mobile, and it delivers short-form scripted content direct to the phone. So it's an app you install on your phone or your mobile device. All the shows are 7 to 10 minutes. It's long. So it's all short form stuff. It's not long form. It's all short form. It's set up by Jeffrey Katzenberg, Jeffrey Katzenberg is one of the guys from DreamWorks Animation and big American producer. He was the man behind things like Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and Lion King and How to Train Your Dragon, a whole bunch of other things as well. So he's the man behind DreamWorks. He is the person behind it. It's got a lot of big name people backing it. I mean, the investors in it are people like NBC, Warner Brothers, Disney, BBC Studios, Lionsgate, MGM. So there's all sorts of people that are investing money in this platform. In terms of the shows, there is a kind of intriguing mix of stuff. As I say, they're all 8-10 minutes long, all the episodes. So they're very short form episodes. They've got things like Survive, which is based on a novel with Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones and Corey Hawkins from Walking Dead and 24, which is about two survivors on a plane crash. You've got a thing called Most Dangerous Game, which is Liam Hemsworth and Christoph Waltz, which is a terminally ill man who agrees to participate in a deadly hunt, very much similar to the film The Hunt, which I think is on Sky Movies right now. It's actually, I think, based on the same short story. There's a similar sort of premise, but there's a drama about that. There's some weird unscripted things like Murder Flip House, which is essentially a home makeover show, but using houses where murders have taken place. So,
oh my God.
And they kind of renovate it to try and get rid of the quote stains of the past. So, it's a bizarre idea, but yes, so there's that. There is a kind of thing called Chrissy's Court, which is Chrissy Teigen basically doing a kind of Judge Judy sort of thing. Yeah, it's an odd mix of stuff. There's a remake of Punked, that sort of 90s TV show with Chance the Rapper. There's a thing with Idris Elba in it. There's some music shows and some game shows and some other weird things. There is a version of The Fugitive, which isn't up there at the moment, but that's coming with Kiefer Sutherland. So, yeah, I mean...
I'm off my mobile phone, Dave. Is there a consumer offer?
Yes. Now, there's a couple of things that slightly annoy me about this service. First thing is it's designed specifically for mobile. They've actually set it up so you physically can't throw it to a TV. So you have to watch it on a mobile device. Now, you can install it on a tablet. So if you've got a decent sized tablet, you can watch it on that. And you can watch it on your phone. It has this unique thing where you can watch it in portrait or landscape. So the shows are specifically designed to be able to watch either way, which is an interesting little feature. The thing is, he basically designed it as something that you could watch on your commutes and then launched it in the middle of a global pandemic. So that seems a bit counterintuitive, it does slightly annoy me that, I mean, I've got a Chromecast and they've disabled the ability to throw the picture to a TV. So even though you're stuck at home, there is no way of being able to watch it on a TV screen. And that's kind of annoying. That's an intentional design decision by them. And it's one that I don't agree with, because I don't want you dictating how I watch your content. I understand that it's supposed to be watched on a mobile, but it kind of limits how much I would use the service. So that, I think, is one issue. The other issue is the price, because they are saying, oh, well, we're not, you know, it's a different idea to something like Netflix. We're not competing against Netflix. But then they launch it in the UK with it being $7.99 a month. It has got a 90-day free trial if you sign up before the end of April. So you can go on and trial it for a few months. But $7.99 is quite a lot of money for a service. Yeah. Like this. The thing is, it launched in the US at $4.99, but you get ads with it, or $7.99 without ads. So either way, we're kind of getting screwed over in the UK at that price point, because $4.99 to $7.99 in pounds to dollars doesn't translate. So I'm kind of annoyed by the pricing as well. That's the other thing. And I'm doing it for 90 days, but it's not a service I see myself sticking with at that price point. $4.99 maybe, that would seem reasonable. $7.99 seems a bit excessive, I would say, for what it is. So, I mean, it is out there. You can go and download it onto your iPhone and on Google App Store. So it's on both the Apple and the Google App Stores if you want to go and find it. It has got a 90-day free trial if you want to sign up now. As long as you sign up before the end of April, you can get it free for 90 days and then cancel it if that's what you want to do, or continue it if that's what you want to do. It depends how much you're think you're going to use it, but it is there. It's called Quibi. That's Quibi if you want to go and search for it. It's not a service we particularly talked about on here before, because of the fact that we didn't know it was going to launch over here and then it magically popped up out of nowhere. It is there if you want to go and try it, and you know, for 90 days for free, it's got to be worth at least a go to see how you get on with it and whether you're going to continue it. But yeah, Quibi, that is, yeah. If you want to go.
I definitely might do that. Just have a nosy. If there's a 90-day free trial, I might download it before the end of this month and then have a little scan, but definitely won't take up. I don't think I can justify, you know, I've just got rid of Sky for good reason. I've decided what I'm going to keep with as I move forward. So I might have a look at it, just see what the content is on there to say I've tried it. But I don't think I could see myself paying another £8 or something. I can only watch on a commute, technically, and I don't have to commute that often. Mostly at home.
Exactly. So. And that's the same sort of issue I have with it. And that price point is outrageously high, considering you can basically get Netflix for that. And Netflix has much more better content on it. So
definitely,
you know, I think to say, oh, we're not competing with Netflix and then charge it at the same price as Netflix is a bit of a mistake as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, but that's Quibi. It is out there if you want to go and do that. So that's the stuff I've been doing this week and Gray's been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So we kick off the TV and film news with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. The first one isn't so much a renewal or cancellation. It's more about a TV channel and potential renewals and cancellations. You may have seen some news stories floating around, but Channel 4 is in quite a lot of trouble right now. For those of you that don't kind of know how Channel 4 is funded, Channel 4 is in an odd position in that it is a public service broadcaster but doesn't receive any public money. It's entirely funded by its ad revenue. Unlike the BBC that has a license fee, Channel 4 basically gets 95% of its income from advertising. They don't have any in-house production either, which is the other way that some TV stations make money, by making stuff in-house and then selling that onto other things internationally. So you've got people like the BBC that have the license fee. Sky obviously have their subscription model. ITV have ITV Studios, which makes stuff. Channel 4 has none of that. The problem now is that we're in the middle of the coronavirus. And what has happened is the advertising revenues have basically been cut in half and possibly even further. So although the viewing figures have risen, the advertising has massively dropped, which means that Channel 4 has a lot less income than it had previously. This has led to them cutting their programming budget by 150 million. That's about a quarter of its overall programming budget. It's also looking to make 95 million worth of savings to try and stave off the impact of the virus. So that includes management taking pay cuts, not getting bonuses. They're also furloughing around 100 of their 900 staff. So it's pretty bad. I mean, the programming budget cut is the main kind of things that made me kind of put it in the renewals cancellation things, because the impact of this is you're going to have fewer new shows, because all the shows that they have are all bought in from external indie companies. So things like Great British Bake Off are bought in. They don't, they're not made by Channel 4. It's shown by Channel 4, but it's made by an independent external company, as is everything else on their network. Both a delay in programmes which have been unable to produce due to the circumstances, such as Great British Bake Off, which has been delayed, and the number of shows which will regrettably have to be cancelled. This will impact the whole portfolio and a number of new shows on E4, which are also postponed and cancelled. That was the statement from Director of Programmes Ian Katz at Channel 4. So basically, if you like a show on Channel 4, E4 or More4, be very prepared that it may not return at all. It may get cancelled or it could be delayed. So that's really why I wanted to highlight this. It's difficult. They just are not going to have the money to be able to either spend on new shows or potentially buy in things that they bought in previously.
Yeah, it's a sad situation that we're in. A little fact you probably don't know about me, Dave: when I did my degree back in the day, I did my dissertation on Channel 4.
Really?
And I wrote about how at that time, so I did my degree in the very early 2000s, it was really struggling to survive in the transition to the digital age. And so I wrote it all about how they are using their outputs like E4 and Film4. And at that time, E4 was a pay-for channel and it was about to go free. Yeah. And I was writing all about how Channel 4 have got to try to stay with the transformation, not be staying in the past. Mm. And I suppose one of their business models was not to cope with a situation like this. But what will this will do for them is, beyond this, if they get through it, is they will start having to rethink their business model to cope with situations like this, so they're not so reliant on their advertisers and their revenue dropping so quickly. But yeah, it's a sad situation, because, you know, for the youth population, I'm saying that in a very broad sense, it really captures a lot of what young people want when they go for their alternative viewing. So it would be real sad to lose them. But I would imagine after this, it'll come through as like a bit of a creativity drought. And so they're going to spend about 8 to 9 months try to pick up where they were affected by this. But I think they'll get through it. I just think what they'll do is they'll rewrite the model to cope with this in the future.
Yeah, I mean, there is an issue in how they're allowed to cope with this, because they're in this odd situation of having a public service remit and being a public service broadcaster, which limits exactly what they can do and what they're allowed to own and how they can mess around with that advertising model. So it's kind of difficult. I mean, the other ironic thing, of course, is they were told that they were too London centric and were basically forced to relocate to various different areas around the country, which involved them relocating, like spending 50 million to relocate a section of Channel 4 up to Leeds and various local hubs. That was a huge amount of money they were basically forced to spend as part of keeping their public service stuff going. And that is 50 million they could desperately do with right now. So, I mean, I've had a couple of brief conversations with some of the Channel 4 guys, and I mean, they are really hurting at the moment, and, you know, they don't know exactly what's going to happen. So hopefully they get through it all okay. They manage to find a navigate a way through it. The reports at the time were saying that without making these drastic cuts, they would only had money to survive 6 months. So, I mean, that shows you how pretty desperate it is right now. They kind of had to make some cuts somewhere, and the other thing that this causes as well is it means that there is less money going to independent British broadcasters that rely on having their shows picked up by Channel 4. So it has a wider knock-on effect for the British film industry and British TV industry, because if Channel 4 doesn't have the money to pay some of these independent broadcasters to make the shows in the first place, those shows will not get made. Those companies could potentially go under. So there is a big knock-on effect. You know, it's a way of funneling money into that independent film and TV sector. This could have quite a major impact across the board. It has a wider, broader impact across the whole industry. So we'll see how it goes. But if Channel 4 or E4 haven't announced the return of a particular show, maybe it's an American import, or it may be something which is a show they were making and they've now had to scrap, something that's made by an independent British broadcaster, this is probably the reason why. So, I mean, I'd like to say it's trying to cut them a little bit of slack at the moment, because they're in a bit of turmoil, and hopefully they'll get through it and they'll manage it all okay and, you know, come out stronger the other side and manage to try and kind of shore things up in some way. But yeah, it's not good. So keep an eye on Channel 4. Just, there may be some late returns or things not returning at all over there. In terms of other delays on the film side, we announced last week about how Disney was shuffling their film schedule. So we had Black Widow taking over the Eternals spot in November from, it was May originally that Black Widow was supposed to go out. And that's basically shunted all the rest of the MCU movies into 2021 and 2022. All the other film companies are effectively doing the same. They're pretty much abandoning this summer. Sony have moved Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway, to 15th of January next year.
Oh, man. I'm really looking forward to that one.
Ghostbusters Afterlife, which was supposed to be this summer, that's been moved to next March, so March 5th next year. Morbius, which was the Jared Leto movie, that's moved to 19th of March next year. And Uncharted is moved to 8th of October next year, which is the film that's based on the video game. Wonder Woman, slightly smaller delay with that. The new Wonder Woman 1984, that's been delayed from June to August 14th. And NBC Universal, of course, we mentioned a few weeks ago, they've actually gone the route of, because they can, moving a lot of their premieres onto home release. So things like The Hunt, Invisible Man and Emma, and just recently Trolls World Tour, they're all being launched on Sky in the UK and some other places. I think you can get them on Amazon as well. So they're all on home release in the UK and the US for quite a lot of money for a rental. It's like £20 for the rental, but they're there if you want to watch them, if you want to watch the movies. Trying to pick up on the bright side of things rather than just talking about the delays, shows that have all been completed and are upcoming, and they were all completed before the lockdown. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that has been completed. How to Get Away with Murder, that was completed before the lockdown. Killing Eve, as we know, is coming back fairly soon. That was completed before the lockdown. Blindspot was also completed, and The 100, which is on its final season, was also completed as well. So hopefully we've got those to look forward to. As I mentioned before on the Channel 4 story, a couple of those are Channel 4 E4 shows. So we'll see whether they turn up, but hopefully they will. The other thing we mentioned last week about Last of Us Part 2, the massive Naughty Dog game, had been delayed due to the coronavirus. That did get people thinking about, what about the other games that are big titles coming out? CD Projekt Red, who are the people behind Cyberpunk 2077, have come out and said they are very, very confident they're going to hit their September 17th release date without any problem at all. They also announced that it'll have as much DLC as The Witcher 3, which I think is awesome news, because The Witcher 3 is like the pinnacle of game development, and the DLC for that was superb. So that will be something to look forward to towards the end of the year in September. That looks like it is actually going to hit its date. It has been delayed already, mind you, that game, but it does look like they are definitely saying it will hit the September date. Moving back onto TV, we have some more Superman and Lois casting, which seems to be the only show that's casting in the US at the moment, because the only casting news we've had is for that show over the last few weeks. So they've announced that Emmanuel Shikari and Eric Valdez have been cast as Lana Lang and her husband, because Lana Lang has a husband in this version of the show. Obviously, Superman and Lois is the new series coming to the Arrowverse. It's either going to be coming later in this year or will arrive at the start of next year. Don't know about a UK pickup yet, but hope to God that Sky have got their eyes on it. Emmanuel Chariqui is taking the role of Lana Lang Cushing, as she's known in this version. She is the loan officer at the Smallville Bank, who stayed in Smallville while the left for something bigger and brighter. She reestablishes her friendship with her old friend Clark Kent during one of the most difficult periods of her life. You may know Emmanuel from The Passage, which was the show that aired on Fox over here. I really enjoyed that show. It's a shame it got canned. And Shut Eye, which was a Hulu series as well, she starred in. She's also popped up in things like Murder in the First. She was in The Mentalist, and she played Sloane in Entourage as well. She's also voiced characters in Beware the Batman, and she voiced Chitara in the Thundercats and a few other things as well. She's taking over the role of Lana Lang. Eric Valdez has taken the role of Kyle Cushing, who is Smallville's fire chief and a local hero who sees his fair share of tragedy. He's small town raised with small town beliefs. He doesn't care much for the big city and often butts heads with people that come from it. So he sounds like a thoroughly pleasant character. he was in Graceland, if you remember that series. He was starred in that. He was also in General Hospital, which is the long-running US drama / soap. He was on that. He's popped up in episodes of New Girl, 90210, Gilmore Girls, CSI Miami as well. So he might be a face you recognise. We know that Tyler Hoechlin and Elizabeth Tulloch are back as Superman and Lois in this. Are you looking forward to another addition to the Arrowverse?
I am indifferent about this one. Again, I can only manage so much on my plate, and I do The Flash, Supergirl, and Legends at the moment. I'm about to give Batwoman a go, which is on E4, but I don't know, can I manage them all? Will one have to be, you know, will Legends go? And therefore give me space? But, you know, that's the rumour, isn't it? We think Legends would be the first one to go if the next one does go. I'll give it a try. I'll definitely watch the first couple of episodes, and if it lands with me, then I'll probably try watching it through.
Yeah, as I say, Superman and Lois at the moment, I mean, it's coming to CW. It has got a full series pickup. They're hoping to shoot it over the summer, although that may or may not be possible. It's either going to premiere in the autumn or it's going to be early next year. At the moment, we don't know whether it is going to replace something else, whether one of the other Arrowverse shows will go. Legends has long been the rumored to be the one that may go, although they have all been picked up for new seasons, so we know they're not going this year if they are going anywhere. We don't know whether it's going to be Sky One over here. I hope to God it is, because we don't need another screw up like Batwoman fiasco. Should also mention, which is mildly annoying for people that have only got Now TV, the crossover episodes are going to start disappearing off Now TV because they're only allowed to have them on catch up for so many weeks. So if you're watching purely on Now TV, you need to watch some of the crossover episodes before they disappear. And that's probably going to be before the Batwoman episode airs on E4.
So that's me, Dave. That's me.
Exactly.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting.
So you are going to have to watch them out of order. Otherwise, you're going to find that you're going to go to watch them and they're not going to be on there. That's frustrating. I know the whole thing's ridiculous. It is the fault of E4 for running it out of order. They should have moved the crossover episode to the first episode because that made more sense in the UK, but they didn't. So yeah, that's how it is. Unfortunately, if you're watching on Now TV, obviously if you've got Sky and you've recorded them, it's not a problem. But on Now TV, they're only allowed to keep them for X amount of days before they have to move them. So that's the situation. On to Amazon, they have uploaded Fleabag, but not Fleabag as you know it. This is the original Phoebe Waller-Bridge stage show, which was the thing that spawned the TV show. They've put it up on Amazon. It's not on Amazon Prime. It's not free. You've got to pay £4 for it, but the money that they're raising for it is going towards various charities that are fighting the pandemic. So they've specifically done it as a way of making money for charity. It's only £4. It allows you to watch the original play with Phoebe Waller-Bridge doing the original play on stage. If you're a fan of Fleabag, if you're a fan of Phoebe Waller-Bridge, I think for £4, it's worth doing it to rent it. It's got to be worth a watch, surely, if you're a fan of the TV show. So that is up there. You can go and kind of Google it. You'll go and find it up on there. If you Google Fleabag stage show Amazon, it will bring up the link for you. So that's where to go and find that. You you watched Fleabag, didn't you?
I did, and I've seen that show. Well, I've seen a version of the show on like a National Theatre type thing as well. So
right,
I enjoyed that as well.
I think they did it through the National Theatre website as well. You can get it through there, but it's probably slightly more convenient for most people to go and get it through Amazon. You don't need a Prime account to go and get it because it's a rental. So if anybody can go onto Amazon and rent that for £4 if you want to go and see that. Over on AMC in the US, they've announced a new quarantine chat show, which stars Jeffrey Dean Morgan from Walking Dead and Hilary Burton Morgan, who is his wife. They've decided that they're going to put a quarantine chat show together, which I think is brilliant because I would just watch Jeffrey Dean Morgan all day, every day. I think he's fabulous. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, somebody that knows a thing or two about dealing with an apocalypse. So, you know, I think that's a good start. Hilary Burton Morgan was a star of One Tree Hill as well, so that's where you might know her from. But it's called Friday Night In with the Morgans. It's a half-hour video chat-based series. It is going to be filmed on their farm in upstate New York. It launches on Friday the 17th in the US. We don't know whether anybody is going to run it over here. It may run on AMC in the UK. It may be that they sell it to somebody else. I'm kind of hope they sell it to somebody else, because AMC is a very limited availability channel over here. But they're saying that guests include people like Christian Sarantos, Sarah Wayne Callies from The Walking Dead. You've got people like Mark Duplass. You've got Jensen Eccles, apparently he's going to be on there with his wife. You've got various other people as well. So it looks like it could be quite a fun kind of video chat show thing. And it's another interesting quarantine chat show thing for people to sit down and watch. But I think they're very watchable people, and I quite like the sound of the guest list sound quite good. So, So that's one thing to look out for. As I say, no UK broadcaster right now, but if that pops up somewhere, we'll let you know. And they've also commissioned a new show for HBO Max in the US called Grease Rydell High, which, as you probably guess from that, is a kind of updated version of Grease that they're releasing as a TV series for HBO Max. It's from Annabelle Oakes, who is one of the people behind Atypical and Transparent. She's writing the pilot for it. Inspired by the film, it's set in and around the world of Rydell High. The Grease offshoot imagines the global smash hit movie with familiars as well as new characters. Still set in the 1950s, it will feature big musical numbers from the period combined with new original songs, and will tackle the peer pressures of high school, the horrors of puberty, and the roller coaster of teen life. Don't know. I think there've been a few of these kind of musical shows around, and I think the idea of setting a school kind of high school musical thing but in the 50s is kind of quite an interesting idea, I guess.
It feels like a bit Glee-like, doesn't
yes.
it? Yes. So it's got that sort of the description of it. So yeah, it sounds like we're going to be doing a classic Glee.
Yes, it's sounding somewhat Glee-like, but Glee 1950s, which
yeah.
I think's fine, you know. And Annabelle Oakes, I think, is probably quite a good person to do it. I mean, she was a writer on MTV's Awkward. She written and directed episodes of Atypical. She worked on Transparent as well. So she's somebody that knows the kind of teen drama-y stuff quite well. So I mm-hmm. think this is probably quite good person to be doing it. But we'll wait and see whether that pops up somewhere. It is a HBO Max series, and HBO Max shows are not included in the HBO Sky deal, so it could pop up anywhere, but we'll keep an eye out for it, see if it does pop up, assuming it gets picked up and goes to series. So that's all the news we've got for this week. Next, we move on to the highlights for next week on TV. So highlights for next week, we've got quite a lot of interesting new shows starting next week, which is quite good. Run, which is a show we've been talking about quite a bit, comes to Sky Comedy. This is Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Vicky Jones, her writing partner. It's their show. It's mainly Vicky's show, actually. Phoebe does have a bit part in the series as well on screen. It's about a woman living a humdrum existence who one day gets a text to invite her to fill a youthful pact promising true love and self-reinvention by stepping out of her life and taking a journey with her oldest flame. Stars Donald Gleason and the brilliant, wonderful Merritt Weaver. It looks like it's going to be hilariously funny, given the people behind it and the people starring in it. I think that could be a fantastic combination. So that's Run. It's coming the 15th of April onto Sky Comedy at 9 p.m. So definitely go and watch that on Sky Comedy. Vagrant Queen. This comes to Sci-Fi UK on the 15th of April at 9 p.m. as well. This is an adaptation of the original comic book series from Vault Comics. I won't try and explain the plot. It looks utterly bonkers. It's one of the things you'd expect from these sort of sci-fi series. Crazy comic book adaptation. Go and give it a watch. I think it could be quite fun. But that's 15th of April at 9 p.m. Devs, which is this new sci-fi drama from the creator Alex Garland, who was the person behind Ex Machina. That's coming to BBC Two on the 15th of April at 9 p.m. as well. Lots of things at 9 p.m. on the 15th of April, so lots of recording going on. But Devs looks like it could be a really solid series, and Alex Garland's an amazing, amazing writer, so one definitely to watch. Riverdale has a return date for the third part of its fourth season. That comes back on the 16th of April to Netflix, so watch out for that. Bosch comes back for its sixth season on the 17th of April to Amazon Prime, so that's another one to watch out for. Season two of Manifest returns to Sky One on the 17th of April at 9 p.m. That's also going to be up on Now TV and Sky On Demand, so you can binge your way through the second season of that. Did you watch the first season of this?
I watched about three episodes, but it was around about the same time as Departure as well, and I think I got them both confused, and there were too many plane dramas going on, so I was like, and then I lost Sky and Now TV, so it was just like one of those that just got lost in the ether.
Yes, it is worth going back to. It takes a little while to get going, but I'd rather enjoyed the first season. It's not the highest quality drama, but it's fun. It's nice enough to watch through, and it's a nice little mystery thing. So we're at 17th of April at 9 p.m. on Sky One, and the entire series will be up on Now TV and Sky On Demand for that. You may find that season one's actually back on there, so you might be able to jump back on it. I'm not sure about that though. Man With a Plan season three continues. That is on E4 on 17th of April at 7:30. That returns. Magnum returns for the second half of its second season. That's on Sky One on the 19th of April, if you're waiting for that to come back because it skipped a few weeks. New show pickup, Lincoln Ryan's The Hunt for the Bone Collector. This is a new show inspired by the best-selling novel of the same name. That is coming to Sky Witness on the 20th of April at 9 p.m. I think that will be one to look out for. And another new drama, Emergence, which is an ABC show in the US, but it's coming to Fox in the UK. That's on the 20th of April at 9 p.m., which is a sheriff that takes in a young girl that she finds on the site of a mysterious accident who has no memory of what had happened. So that's a sort of sci-fi kind of mystery drama thing. It was one of those shows that we kind of looked at and went, yeah, that'll get cancelled after one season. It's just, I mean, at the moment it hasn't got renewed or cancelled, but we're not necessarily expecting to get notification on that yet, but we'll have to wait and see. But it is up, coming to Fox on 20th of April if you want to go watch that. And that's it for us at the moment. So that's another week done. If they want to go and find you, where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at Grey the Geek. You normally see me complaining to some company about what they've done wrong to me, but occasionally I do put things up there about some of the TV programs. But by all means, come and chat with me if you want to.
Yes, definitely. And if you want to follow some of the other people as well that come regularly onto the podcast, you can find Bex over on twitch.tv at TristaBytes. That's Bytes with a Y. She's streaming pretty much on Twitch every single day at around 1 p.m. but go and follow her on Twitter and find her on Twitch. It's well worth watching. I believe she's wearing bunny ears today because it's Easter, so they've talked her into funny ears. But yes, definitely go to watch that. She's very, very funny. You can also check out Matt over on entertainmenttalk.org, and lots of podcasts over there, if you're including the Westworld and Better Call Saul podcast and the recently concluded Walking Dead podcast. You can go listen to those over on there, which we co-host with him. Go and find us, of course, on the website at geektown.co.uk. throughout the week, and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions and comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, on Instagram at geektownuk. Stay safe out there. Look after each other. Wash your hands. Phone your elderly relatives. Make sure they're okay and they don't need anything. We will see you next week. Bye bye.
Yeah, bye bye. Stay safe, everyone. Bye bye.
spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.